TED Talks are recorded live at the TED Conference and partner events. This episode features tennis legend and activist Billie Jean King. Here's Billie Jean King.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Pat. Thank you. Getting me all wound up now.
Good.
Don't do that.
You know, wow. When I was watching the video again of the match, you know, you must have felt like the fate of the world's women was on every stroke you took on that. Were you feeling that?
First of all, Bobby Riggs, he was a former number one player. He wasn't just some hacker, by the way. He was one of my heroes, and I admired him. And that's the reason I beat him, actually, is because I respected him. It's true. My mom and dad, especially my dad, always said, respect your opponent and never underestimate them, ever. And he's correct. He was absolutely correct. But I knew it was about social change. And I was really nervous about whenever we announced it. And I thought, I felt like the whole world was on my shoulders. And I thought, if I lose, it's going to put women back 50 years at least. Title IX had just been passed the year before, June 23rd, 1972. And women's professional tennis, there were nine of us that signed a $1 contract in 1970. Now remember, the match is in 73. So we're only in our third year of having a tour where we can actually play, have a place to compete, and make a living. So there were nine of us that signed that $1 contract. And our dream was for any girl born in any place in the world, if she were good enough, there'd be a place for her to compete and for us to make a living. Because before 1968, we made $14 a day. And we were under the control of organizations. So we really wanted to break away from that. But we knew it wasn't really about our generation so much. We knew it was about the future generations. We do stand on the shoulders of the people that came before us. There is no question. But every generation has a chance to make it better. That was really on my mind, is that I really wanted to start matching the hearts and minds to Title IX. Title IX, in case anybody doesn't know, which a lot of people don't probably know, but any federal funds given to a high school, college, or university, either public or private, had to finally give equal monies to boys and girls. And that changed everything. So you can have a law, but it's changing the hearts and minds to match up with it. That's when it really rocks. Totally. So that was on my mind. I want to start that change in the hearts and minds. So it was really, but two things came out of that match. For women, self-confidence, empowerment. They actually had enough nerve to ask for a raise. Some women have waited 10, 15 years to ask. I said, more importantly, did you get it? And they did. And for the men, a lot of the men today don't realize it, but if you're in your 50s, 60s, or whatever, late 40s, you're the first generation of men of the women's movement, whether you like it or not. And for the men, what happened, for the men, they come up to me, and most time the men actually are the ones who have tears in their eyes. It's very interesting. They go, Billy, I was very young when I saw that match, and now I have a daughter. And I am so happy I saw that as a young man. And one of those young men at 12 years old was President Obama. Oh. And he actually told me that when I met him. He said, you don't realize it, but I saw that match at 12, and now I have two daughters. And it has made a difference in how I raised them. And that's so both men and women got a lot out of it, but different things.
And now there are generations, at least one or two, who have experienced the equality that Title IX and other fights along the way made possible. And for women, their generations have also experienced teamwork. They got to play team sports in a way they hadn't before. So you had a legacy already built in terms of it being an athlete, a legacy of the work you did to lobby for equal pay for women athletes and the Women's Sports Foundation. What now are you looking to accomplish with the Billie Jean King Leadership Initiative?
I think it goes back to an epiphany I had at 12. At 11, I wanted to be number one tennis player in the world. And a friend had asked me to play. And I said, what's that? Tennis is not my family. basketball and other sports. Fast forward to 12 years old. And I'm finally starting to play in tournaments where you get a ranking, you know, at the end of the year you get some. So I was daydreaming at the Los Angeles Tennis Club, and I started thinking about my sport and how tiny it was, but also that everybody who played had wore white shoes, white clothes, played with white balls, and everybody who played was white. And I said to myself at 12 years old, where is everyone else? And that just kept sticking in my brain. In that moment, I promised myself I'd fight for equal rights and opportunities for boys and girls, men and women, the rest of my life. And that tennis, if I were fortunate enough to become number one, and I know being a girl would be harder to have influence already at that age, that I had this platform. And tennis is global. And I thought, you know what? I've been given an opportunity that very few people have had. Now, I didn't know if I was going to make it. This is only 12. I sure wanted it, but making it's a whole other discussion. But I just remember, I promised myself. And that's, I've really tried to keep my word. And that's who I truly am. That's what, just fighting for people. And unfortunately, women have had less. And we are considered less. And so my attentions, where do they have to go? I mean, it was just, you have to. Also, and learn to stick up for yourself, hear your own voice. I mean, you hear all these same words keep coming out all the time. And I got really lucky because I really had an education. And I think if you can see it, you can be it. You know, if you can see it, you can be it. I mean, you look at Pat, you look at other leaders, you look at these speakers, look at yourself. Because everyone can do something extraordinary. Every single person.
And your story, Billy, has inspired so many women everywhere. Now with the Billie Jean King Leadership Initiative, you're taking on an even bigger cause, because one thing we hear a lot about is women taking their voice, working to find their way into leadership positions. But what you're talking about is even bigger than that. It's inclusive leadership.
Totally,
and this
right,
is a generation that has grown up thinking more
inclusively. Isn't it great?
Yes.
Look at the technology. It's amazing how it connects us all. It's about connection. It's simply amazing what's possible because of it. But the Billie Jean King Leadership Initiative is really about the workforce mostly and trying to change it so people can actually go to work and be their authentic self. Because most of us have two jobs. One to fit in. I'll give you a perfect example. African-American woman gets up an hour earlier, go to work, straightens her hair in the bathroom, goes to the bathroom, probably 4, 5, 6 times a day to keep straightening her hair, keep making sure she fits in. So she's working two jobs. She's got this other job, you know, whatever that it may be, but she's also trying to fit in. Or this poor man that was kept his diploma. He went to the University of Michigan, but he never would talk about his poverty as a youngster, ever. Just would not mention it. So he made sure that they saw he was well-educated. And then you see a gay guy who has an NFL, which means American football for all of you out there. It's a big deal. It's very macho. And he talked about football all the time because he was gay and he didn't want anybody to know. So it just goes on and on. So my wish for everyone is to be able to be their authentic self 24/7. That would be the ultimate. And we catch ourselves. I mean, I catch myself to this day. Even being gay, I catch myself, you know, like a little uncomfortable, a little surge in my gut, feeling not totally comfortable in my own skin. So I just think you have to ask yourself, I want people to be themselves, whatever that is. Just let it be. Yeah.
And the first research that the Leadership Initiative did showed that these examples that you just used, others, yes, that many of us had the problem of being authentic.
Correct.
But what you've just looked at is this millennial generation who's benefited from all these equal opportunities,
well,
which may not be equal, but exist everywhere.
First of all, I'm really lucky. Partnership with Teneo, who's a strategic company that's amazing. And that's really the reason I'm able to do this. I've had two times in my life where I've actually had men really behind me with power. And that was with the old days of Philip Morris with Virginia Slims. And this is the second time in my entire life. And then Deloitte, the one thing I wanted was data, facts. So Deloitte sent out a survey. And we're into about 400 and over 4,000 now people have answered. We're continuing in the workplace. what you feel, what the millennials feel. Well, they feel a lot, but what they're so fantastic about is, you know, our generation was like, oh, we're going to get representation. So if you walk into a room, you see everybody represented. That's not good enough anymore, which is so good. So the millennials are fantastic. They want connection, engagement. They just want you to tell us what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and get into the solution. They're problem solvers. And they, of course, you've got the information at your fingertips compared to when I was growing up.
What did the research show you about these millennials? Are they going to make a difference? Are they going to create a world where there is really an inclusive workforce?
Well, in 2025, 75% of the global workforce are going to be millennials. So I think they are going to help solve problems. I think they have the wherewithal to do that. I know they care a lot. They have big ideas. And they can make big things happen. I want to stay in the now with the young people. I don't want to get behind.
I don't think there's any chance.
No, but I really want to hear what you found out
in the research about millennials is not really the experience a lot of people have with millennials, you know?
No, well, if we want to talk, okay, I've been doing my little mini survey. I've been talking to the boomers that are their bosses. I go, what do you think about the millennials? I'm pretty excited, like it's good. And they go, and they get this face. Oh, you mean the me generation? I said, do you really think so? Because I do think they care about environment and you know, all these things. And they go, oh, Billy. They cannot focus. They actually have proven that the average focus for an 18-year-old is 37 seconds now. They can't focus. And they don't really care. I know, okay, I just heard a story the other night. She owns a gallery, and she had these workers, and she gets a text from one of the workers. She's like an intern. She's not like, you know, she's just starting. She goes, oh, by the way, I'm going to be late because I'm at the hairdresser's. So she arrives, and this boss says, what's going on? She says, oh, I was late. Sorry, how's it going? She says, well, guess what? I'd like you to leave. You're finished. She goes, okay. Now, no problem.
Now, Billy, that story.
I know, but that's what scares the boomers. I'm just telling you. So I think it's good for us to share. No, it is good for us to share because we're our authentic self and what we're really feeling. So we got to take it both ways, you know. But I have great faith because I think if you've been in sports like I have, every generation gets better. It's a fact. With the Women's Sports Foundation being the advocates for Title IX still, because we're trying to keep protecting the law because it's a tenuous position, always. So we really do are concerned, and we do a lot of research, so it's very important to us. And I want to hear from people. But we really have to protect what Title IX stands for worldwide. And you heard President Carter talk about how Title IX is protected.
Yeah.
Do you know that every single lawsuit that girls, at least in sports, have gone up against whatever, institution, whatever, has won? Title IX is there to protect us, and it is amazing. But we still have to get the hearts and minds to match legislation is huge.
So what gets you up every morning? What keeps you sustaining your work, sustaining the fight for equality, extending it, always exploring new areas, trying to find new ways to...
Well, I always drove my parents crazy anyway because I was always the curious one. I'm highly motivated. My younger brother, in case, was a Major League Baseball player. My poor parents did not care if we were any good. And we drove them crazy because we pushed, we wanted to be the best. And I think it's because of what I'm hearing today at TED Talk. I think to listen to these different women, to listen to different people, to listen to President Carter, 90 years old, by the way, and he was throwing these figures out that I would never, I'd have to go, excuse me, wait a minute, I need to get a list out of these figures. He was rattling off, I mean, that's amazing, I'm sorry.
He's an amazing man.
And then you're going to have President Mary Robinson, who used to be former president. Yes. Thank you, Irish, 62%. LGBTQ.
Yes.
Congress is voting in June on same-sex marriage. So these are things that for some people are very hard to hear. But always remember, every one of us is an individual, a human being with a beating heart who cares and that wants to live their authentic life. Okay, you don't have to agree with somebody, but everyone has the opportunity. And I think we all have an obligation to continue to keep moving the needle forward always. And these people have been so inspiring. That's all. I mean, it's just everyone matters. And every one of you is an influencer. You out there listening, out there in the world, plus the people here, every single person's an influencer. Never, ever forget that. Okay, so don't ever give up on yourself.
Billy, you have been an inspiration to
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Pat. Sorry, I didn't.
That was Billie Jean King, recorded at TED Women 2015 in Monterey, California, May 2015. For more information on TED, visit TED.com.